Hi and welcome to another episode of Book a Better Me. And since it's a new year and we are going to have 12 new months, I decided that it would be very nice of me to read this book called 12 Rules for Life by Jordan B. Peterson. Damn good book. Like, it was very detailed, and as you can see, this book is very lengthy, and as I said, it was very detailed. So I'll be making the video very short. It would be less detailed. And if you are still looking for more detailed summary, you can check the newsletter. The link will be given in the description. You can just click on that and just read it out. It's absolutely free. Some of the rules are metaphors. Rule number one is stand up straight with your shoulders back. So Dr. Peterson compares lobsters to human as their brain is very comparable, and a lot of scientists use lobsters to study human behavior. So he compares them and says that territory matters, and there is a little difference between territorial rights and social status. The person who is higher up in the hierarchy and who has a better social status will rule in the better territory, and he will have a better territory. Same is true for humans and lobsters. For example, the people who are higher up on the hierarchy, businessmen, rich people, politicians, actors, and people who are very high up on the hierarchy, they live in good places. Their places are well made. They live in bungalows. Their places are clean, their neighborhoods are good with less burglary. And if you compare that to a person who's very poor and very low on the hierarchy, he lives in a very bad neighborhood, a neighborhood where a lot of crime happens, in that kind of thing. In his neighborhood, disease would spread far quickly as that of compared to a rich person. Social status matters a lot, and to rise up on the hierarchy, lobsters fight. Human too, but they don't do fist-to-fist fight, but they compete with each other. So a winner and loser lobster have different brain chemistry. That is, a winner lobster will have higher amount of serotonin and low amounts of octopamine, which is inverse of what is there in the loser's brain. So when your body produces large amount of serotonin, you tend to be happy, you are much more confident. And it shows even in your physical posture. A confident person will stand properly, back would be straight, he would not be slouching. And you can see and tell if a person is confident or not. If, let's say, for example, if I'm sitting like this in front of you, you can take a guess that I'm probably very lazy and I'm not having very good confidence, and I'm probably a kind of meek person. But if I'll be sitting like this in front of you with my back straight and taking a little bit of surrounding space, you can see that this posture portrays much more power than the other one. If I'll be talking like this, you will assume that I'm an important person and what I'm saying must be true and it's worth listening. So this same thing happens with your posture too. If you stand straight with your shoulders back, that is, they are not slouched, this thing also affects your brain. When you do this, it gives your brain a signal that you are confident, and your brain will produce more serotonin so that you will act more confidently. And once you are more confident about yourself, you will start rising up on the hierarchy. Rule number two, treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. So I have seen this a lot. Maybe you might have observed this too, that a lot of people don't take care of themselves very properly. They'll not take proper medications, they will not take rest. But when they are given the responsibility to look after someone else, for example, their partner, their parents or kids, or even their pet, they are much more serious about them. Like, they'll skip their own medication, but they'll make sure the other person does proper medication and has proper rest. And Dr. Peterson even talks about chaos and order in this. He says that order is explored territory. It's the warm, secure living room where the fireplace glows and children play. When everything is certain, we are in order. We are there when things are going according to our plan and we know everything, and nothing new or disturbing is happening. And we like to stay in order. And the other is chaos. Chaos is the domain of ignorance. It extends eternally and without limit. Chaos is the horror and despair you feel when you have profoundly betrayed. It's the place you end up when things fall apart, when your dreams die or your career collapses. Chaos is when we don't know where we are or what we are doing. So he also talks that in many cultures, order appears symbolically associated with masculinity, and this is because the primary hierarchy structure of human societies is masculine, as it is in almost every other animal. And chaos is symbolically associated with femininity. This is partly because all the things we have come to know were born of the unknown, just as all beings we encounter were born of mother. And in positive, guys, chaos is possibility itself. It's the source of ideas, the mysterious realm of gestation and birth. If you don't go out in chaos, then you will not grow. But order gives you the comfort. Coming back to the main rule, so when you start taking care of yourself like someone you are responsible to, you do what is truly good for you. It's not same as what will make you happy, but it's just that what is good for you, what will you do now that will help you and make you good. Dr. Peterson says that you are important to other people as much as to yourself. You have some vital role to play in the unfolding destiny of the world. You are therefore morally obliged to take care of yourself. So third rule says, make friends with people who want the best for you. So sometimes what happens is that a lot of people have very negative self-image, that they think that their own opinion are not worth it. They don't respect their thoughts. They think that others will not respect their thoughts. And then they choose people who will not make them feel bad about themselves. Like, I'll give you an example. It's a bit tough to understand in single go. So I'll give you an example. Let's say I talk very negatively about myself, okay? Then I look at a person or even my friend and he's succeeding, then I'll feel bad about myself. But if I choose a friend who is just like me or maybe even below me, then I'll not feel that. I'll be like, yeah, it's fine. Even in my circle, no one is growing. Then I think it's perfectly fine. And that thing will not make me feel guilty. So that is actually a very bad habit. You should choose people who want good for you. They will not tolerate your bad behavior. They will not tolerate your excuses. They'll be happy that you are succeeding, and they will punish you when you are slacking or you do mistake. And that is a very good thing, because once you associate with such people, you will grow too. Because as they are growing, they want you to grow too. So they make you look at themselves and they'll put in effort so that you will grow too. But one thing is there, that if you don't want to grow, someone else can't make you grow. So it is up to you. If you really want to grow, you will choose friends who will make you grow too. So together you can grow and aim towards a better life. Rule number 4, compare yourself to what you were yesterday, not who someone else is today. So a lot of people do this. Like, I'll give you an example. They start, let's say someone started playing guitar for the first time, then they look at a popular band member and say, or maybe some person they know online, they'll say that, look at this person, he's playing such a good guitar and I'm not nowhere near him. And that is a very bad habit. I'll give you an example. Okay, let's say you are one in a million, okay, but you live in New York City. So statistically there are about 20 you in just New York City. So when people used to live in small towns and small communities, everyone used to be very talented because they didn't have anyone else to compare with. There were just small people and each of them were good in one thing or other. So each of them could shine well in their own field. But same is not true when they move to bigger cities. So that make people very self-conscious about their skills. So instead of doing that, what you should do is, you look at yourself who you were yesterday. That yesterday you didn't know this. And once you do this, over time you will start becoming better, and maybe then you will be the someone who gets compared to some other person's day one. Maybe, you never know. Rule number 5, do not let your children do anything that will make you dislike them. Children are very hungry for attention. A lot of time they do things that make you give them attention. They cry, they shout, they scream, they lay down on floor and throw a temper tantrum. Have you ever seen a kid crying or shouting in a mall or something because they want something? That's because they want attention. They do that for attention. And if you don't give it to them, they'll try to do much worse thing so that you will give them attention. And same thing goes when you don't stop them from doing something bad. Let's say you have a kid. He slaps some other kid while playing in a playground. Now, if you don't stop him, chances are he will continue to do so until you stop him. And the chances are very high. Like, I have seen this personally, so I'm telling you. Chances are very high that he will continue to hit other people until someone stops him. So, you you need to stop children when they do something bad. Like, you don't want your kids to hit others. Maybe you allowed it now, but down the lane for like 5 years, 10 years, you will not like them and you will dislike them. Is it the child's fault now? I don't think so, and neither does Dr. Peterson. He says that instead of letting them do things that will make you dislike them, stop when you can. If they hit some other kid, stop them and tell them it's wrong. If they don't, then take other measures like punishment. But you need to stop this, because if you don't, then they'll keep testing your waters and they'll keep increasing the intensity of how they test the waters. Rule 6. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. This is very simple and it is one of those metaphorical. Look into yourself before you go out and tell others where you're wrong. So, like society and the world we live in, people too are flawed. There are flaws everywhere. What a lot of people try to do is that they try to solve or cure the flaws of the world or the city they look at instead of correcting the flaw themselves. If you are not someone who is doing something good, how can you tell others that they should do something good? This is very ironic to me. So before you go out and tell the world how to do things, how to do things in correct order, first do those things yourself. Once you do, then look at others and tell them what to do. Rule number 7. Pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Expedient means helping someone or doing something for an ulterior motive rather than just for the sake of doing. So Dr. Peterson says that expedience is following the bond impulse. It is short-term game. It is narrow and selfish. It is to get its way done. It takes nothing into account and it is immature and irresponsible. So you do things, you help others just so that you can use their help later on. Instead of helping just because you wanted to help or helping someone is a good deed, you help because now you can take back the favor you asked from them. And meaning is the mature replacement of expedience. Meaning emerges when impulses are regulated, organized, and unified. Meaning emerges from the interplay between the possibilities of the world and value structure operating within that. Once you start doing things for meaning and helping others just for the sake of helping them, then you'll observe that things are good and life's good. Rule number 8, tell the truth or at least don't lie. It is also still a metaphor, though the rule still stands true, but there is very subtle reference to talking. Okay, I'll elaborate it a little bit. So a lot of time what happens is when we are talking to people, we don't say what we truly mean. We say something that will not make them feel bad or that will not hurt them. We do things so that we don't hurt their feeling or anything. Like, for example, very very common example, even you might have observed this. Let's say you are very sad and you are going through a very personal trauma, or maybe trauma is a little harsh word, but you are going through a personal mental storm, okay, and you are in mentally a bad place, okay, and your best friend texts you and he asks you that how are you today, and the chances are that you will just reply, yeah, I'm good, instead of telling the truth. You will just lie, because here lying is much easier. But Dr. Peterson says that it is not a good habit, it's actually bad. Dr. Peterson says that you should tell the truth even if it inflicts conflict at the moment, but you should do that, because if you sort things out right now and tell the truth, it's much better than having a huge fight or maybe get your whole world shaken just because you didn't discuss something right now. So it's rather you avoid small things right now and have a huge fight or something happen in future, or you can just tell the truth right and discuss it properly with your friends, family, partner, and might have a small argument or something, but it would be much better than breaking the whole thing off. If you betray yourself, if you say untrue things, if you act out a lie, you weaken your character. And if you have a weak character, then adversity will mow you down when it appears, as it will inevitably. You will hide, but there will be no place left to hide, and then you will find yourself doing terrible things. Rule number 9, assume the person you are listening to might know something you didn't know. So this totally refers to the conversation part or discussion or even debate, might even include argument too. So this is just that if you are having conversation just for the sake that you can speak something, like let's say you and your friends are having conversation, and while he's speaking, instead of listening properly to him, you are mentally making your own points what you have to say, then it's not a very fruitful conversation. Is it? When you are having a conversation, you should go with this, that the other person will say something that you didn't know. You will get another perspective on something. And once you do that, you will start learning new things. And the conversation you have would be much more fruitful and even much more enjoyable. So instead of thinking while the other person is saying, listen to them, then speak. It's not like they will ridicule you for taking a break to mentally assess what they said. That's not true. And if they do, then they are probably not worth having a conversation with. Rule number 10, be precise in your speech. So when you don't specify when you are not succeeding, you are just refusing to define your failure, so that if you fail, you won't notice and you won't get hurt. People do things and they fail, and what they then do is they don't specify why this whole thing happened or what things led to another and this happened. They just try to push it under the carpet, and so that no one will talk about that and they'll not feel bad about it. And this is a bad thing, because when things fall apart and chaos re-emerges, we can give structure to it and re-establish order through our speech. If we speak carefully and precisely, we can sort things out and put them in proper place and set a new goal and navigate to it. If we speak carelessly and imprecisely, however, things remain vague. The destination remains unproclaimed. The fog of uncertainty does not lift. Specify your destination, chart your course, admit what you want, tell those around who you are. Specify things very clearly. Like you are feeling something, then specify it. Why exactly are you feeling that way? And that helps you make a better person. When you speak clearly and more precisely, things get clearer to the other person too. They'll not make assumptions in their mind. Rule number 11, do not bother children when they are skateboarding. So this is one of those which is metaphorical. So in this whole rule, Dr. Peterson explains that people, including children, don't seek to minimize risk. They seek to optimize it. And when something is made too much safe, kid, for example, let's say playground is made too much safe for kids, the kids do either two things. Either they get bored and stop playing in the playground, or then they use their own creative mind to make the thing even more dangerous than before. And overprotected, we will fail when something dangerous, unexpected, and full of opportunity suddenly makes its appearance, as it inevitably will. Let's say you never ironed a shirt for yourself, okay? And now you are in college or you are doing a job, and now suddenly you need to iron your shirt, and now you don't how to. So this is very unexpected to you, and once this thing comes, you'll be baffled about it, that you don't know how to iron shirt. What will you do now? You really need an iron shirt right now, and there is no other way you can get it. Like you don't have a washerman nearby or have any other person who can iron it. You are all alone and you have to do that. So that makes things very hard. So instead, let people do a little bit rough things. Protect your children, but don't overprotect them. Let them fall, let them get up on their own, so that they'll learn new things. So the final rule is rule number 12. Pet a cat when you encounter one on street. This is also a little bit metaphorical. In this rule, Dr. Peterson talks about the whole part where people are very sad and they question God why the sufferings or bad things happen to them. So to battle this, he says that set aside some time to talk and think about the illness or the other crisis and how it should be managed every day. Do not talk or think about it otherwise. If you do not limit its effect, you will become exhausted. Everything will spiral into the ground. This is not helpful. Conserve your strength. You are in a war, not a battle. And a war is composed of many battles. You must stay functional through all of them. When worry is associated with the crisis arise at the other time, remind yourself that you will think then through the scheduled period. So you take out a very specific time that during the afternoon you will think about this, and other times you don't, because if you are constantly thinking about a crisis or any other illness, you'll get exhausted. And Dr. Peterson also advises that do not schedule this time at evening or night, because if you do so, then you won't be able to sleep, and if you're not able to sleep, then you will rapidly go downhill. And about the rule, he says that dogs are like people, they are friends and allies of human beings. And yeah, he also said that he has a dog and it's perfectly fine to pet a dog too, he doesn't mind that. So they are social, hierarchical and domesticated. They are happy to be at the bottom of family pyramid. They pay for attention they receive with loyalty, admiration and love. Cats, however, their own creature. They aren't social or hierarchical. They are only semi-domesticated. They don't do tricks. Dogs have been tamed, but cats have made a decision. They appear here willingly to interact with people for some strange reason for their own. Like, you might have observed this too. If there's a dog on the street and you call it, chances are it will come to you and so that you can pet him. They are very happy to do so. But cats are not. Half of the time they don't even come to you. They totally ignore you. You don't exist to them. When you are going through life and you are walking on street, you see a cat and you pet it, then for a brief moment, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, you forget all your crises, and at the moment you are just thinking about the blissful thing that is petting the cat or the dog. And with that, all the 12 rules are complete. And I know this video was a little bit longer, but I had to explain things and I tried to fit as much details as I could. You can also read the newsletter if you want more detail. It would be little more detailed. And I would still suggest that if you really want, you should read the book. There are a lot of things in this. It's a rather good book, and I think everyone should read this book once in their lifetime. And maybe once you are habitual of reading after reading my newsletter, maybe then pick this book up and you'll like it. I think you'll like it. With that, I'll just end today's episode. I'll come back with a new book in next month. If you like this episode, drop a like and drop a comment. And if you want, share this knowledge with your friends too. And if you want me to read a certain book and then give you a summary, then comment or just DM me on my social handles. I'll give the link in description. Thank you.